Hello, everyone, and welcome to the fifth episode of Late Night Crimecast. I'm your host, Robin Steffens. You may or may not know me from my YouTube channel, in which I have a crime series based around kidnappings, murders, and the criminals themselves. This show will be very similar to that. So, if you're like me and you love true crime, especially if you get tangled in those cases that just keep you up late at night, you're gonna love this podcast. Every week on Wednesday, I'm going to post a new true crime story. I will cover cases that are local, cases that got a lot of media attention, and everything in between. And while I have your attention, I want to make a quick announcement. Drumroll, please! As a part of this podcast, I'm starting a new segment. Once a month on a random Monday, I will be doing Murder Mondays. Basically, I will be taking a deep dive into the background and psyche of kidnappers, serial killers, spree killers, and more. This Monday began our first ever Murder Monday, so stay tuned for next month's Murder Monday. Guys, I'm clearly very excited about this, which is why I'm still talking about it. But regardless, this episode, we'll be just keeping with our regular true crime story. And this episode, we will be discussing the disappearance of Bethany Decker. Bethany Ann Decker was born on May 13, 1989, in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Fredericksburg is a city in Virginia just south of Washington, D.C. There is actually a really high crime rate there, and this is in comparison to all other cities. It doesn't matter in terms of size and population, there is a 1 in 24 chance of becoming a victim of violent or property crime there. Which is so crazy to me. That's like ridiculously high. And you really never hear about this place. So I find it really weird that they're so high up there with the crime. But yeah, this is just something to keep in mind. Back to Bethany. She was a white female with brown hair and brown eyes. She stood at 5 feet tall and was 130 pounds. She had a small tattoo on her left ankle. And sadly, at the time of her disappearance, she was 5 months pregnant. Her due date was August 7th of 2011. To really go more into her disappearance, we really have to delve deeper into her background. So, Bethany had graduated high school and started to attend George Mason University. She majored in global and economic change. She was in her freshman year of school there when she ended up meeting a man named Emil Decker. He was in the ROTC program at the university she went to. They really hit it off in their relationship, and they actually end up dating for 3 years. Early into their relationship, they end up getting engaged, and shortly after their engagement, Bethany found out she was pregnant with his child. The two get married in 2009 and end up having a son 6 months later. At this point, Emil is actually involved with the Army as an Army National Guardsman, and he starts going off to training with the intentions of getting deployed to Afghanistan. And this is a dream he's always had, to be in the military. I mean, when he met Bethany in college, he was already in ROTC. So it's assumed that she knew that he wanted to go off to be in the Army or military. But basically, at this point, he's gone to training for a lot of the time, leaving Bethany alone. And Bethany is around 20 years old at this time, and you can imagine. She's young, she's married, and she has a child. Not only that, but she's going to school and has to work full-time. She's working as a waitress at the time to get extra money. And to make matters worse, this is starting to put a strain on their relationship. I mean, marriage is no joke. So imagine getting married young and having all of these responsibilities just piling on you because your husband, he just isn't with you, and it's kind of leaving you to step up to the plate. While her husband was away at training, Bethany would leave her son with her in-laws in Columbia, Maryland. But still, I mean, you can imagine how difficult of a time this must have been for her, even without her child there. All of this is continuing to add more and more stress to their relationship. And so the marriage at this point between Bethany and Emil is on the rocks, and the relationship is really starting to fall apart. Clearly, they aren't happy, and more specifically, Bethany isn't happy. While her husband is away, she ends up meeting a man named Ronald Roldan. She meets him while she's at work, and they eventually get into a relationship and start having an affair. Late into 2010, there are many issues within the marriage between Bethany and Emil. Emil comes back for a short time period and actually ends up finding flirty texts between Bethany and Roldan. He confronts her and she convinces him that it's nothing and it's just harmless flirting. So they kind of end up patching things up and Emil has to leave again, but he says that he felt really good about where the relationship was after that conversation. Unfortunately, it appears that Bethany didn't think so, because soon after that, Bethany ends up moving to a separate apartment in Ashburn, Virginia. And guess what? Ronald Roldan ends up moving in with her as well. After moving in together, and this is according to Bethany's family, Bethany ends up finding out that Roldan is abusive, possessive, and controlling. He really begins to show his true nature, and it's so bad to the point that her own parents begin developing a plan to get her out of the relationship. But unfortunately, things would quickly get worse. By the end of the year, Bethany finds out that she's pregnant again. Now, it could either be Roldan's or Emil's child because Emil had come back for a bit around the time of conception, but it was unknown who the father actually was. So Bethany finds out she's pregnant, but is still keeping up with both of her relationships. In January of 2011, Emil ends up coming back from his deployment for a month. During this time period, he and Bethany went on a vacation to Hawaii for a week. They end up returning on January 28th and spend the night at his parents' home in Maryland. At the time, Emil's parents were unaware of the couple's marital difficulties, and the couple didn't let it show in front of them. The next morning, on January 29th, Emil and Bethany end up going back to Virginia. Emil says that he saw her before she went back to her Ashburn apartment, so he saw her go inside of her apartment. Roldan also confirms that he saw her there at the apartment later that afternoon. Neighbors also reported seeing her enter her apartment around January 29th. And that same day, Bethany ends up calling her employer to confirm her work schedule for the upcoming week. This is the last time that anyone sees Bethany ever again. Emil ends up getting deployed to Afghanistan on February 2nd, and his friends see him off. But it's noted that Bethany isn't there, and it's a little weird, but they attribute it to being the couple's rocky relationship. They're clearly, obviously not both on the same terms as they were in the beginning. They aren't as in love, and their relationship is on the rocks, so their friends just say, okay, it's probably because of that that she isn't there. Now, as I mentioned before, Bethany was a very busy person. She was juggling college, a job, and a child. She had a lot on her plate. She did her best to keep in contact with her friends and family, but it wasn't uncommon for them to go without hearing from her for a while. This is very important to the story because the beginning of February starts and no one realizes yet that Bethany is actually missing. In fact, her friends and family are still getting Facebook messages from her account. But after a while, her friends start to realize that whoever they had been talking to on Facebook isn't Bethany. The messages haven't been released of what was actually said during those conversations, but clearly her friends could tell that there was something really off about the messages they were receiving, that it just wasn't the way that Bethany interacted with them. Now, Bethany's mom is starting to realize that she herself had not heard from Bethany in a while. By then, it is already February 19th. over half a month before anyone last saw her. So on February 19th, Bethany's mom ends up giving her own parents a call. Because they live in the Ashburn area, she asks them to drive by Bethany's apartment to check on her. When Bethany's grandparents get to her apartment, they see that Bethany's car, a Hyundai, is parked out front. Only it's parked crooked, has a flat tire, and has a lot of dust on it. This is important because they had actually driven by maybe a week earlier, and the car was parked differently and it looked different. Anyway, they end up going to her door and knocking, but no one answers. It is then that her grandparents take action and a missing persons report is finally filed for Bethany. Once law enforcement gets involved, they find that Bethany has not used her bank accounts or cell phone since the last day she was seen, nor has she reported to work or attended her classes. And of course, with that being said, they immediately know this is a missing persons case. So essentially, because of her schedule and just her irregular contact with her family and friends, no one even knew she was missing for such a long time. And if you know missing persons cases, it is extremely, extremely important to try to get on the case as soon as possible because time is of the essence. After a person is missing for 24 hours even, the percentage of them being found alive dramatically decreases. So it's very important. So the police get right on this. The first people to become persons of interest are, of course, Ronald Roldan and Emil Decker. So, Emil, he's still employed in Afghanistan, but he's questioned over the phone. He cooperates with them, and he actually returns back home in order to take a polygraph test. Next, they start to question Roldan. He has already moved out of the apartment and moved to Centerville, Virginia, to live with his mother due to the lease on the apartment ending. He said that he hadn't seen Bethany and that he just assumed that she left and went to live with her parents after not seeing or hearing from her. Now, this was very strange in and of itself because for someone who was living with and in a relationship with Bethany, he seemed to know absolutely nothing about her, where she could have been. Like, yes, I guess you could say that she went back to her parents, but you never decided to check up and call and see. I don't know, it's just very strange to me. Even if they had broken up during that time, you would think he still would have been in contact with her, or even just known about her being missing. On top of that, he reportedly gave them inconsistent answers to questions about when he had last seen Bethany's car. So like I said before, that the car was parked differently as if someone had moved it about a week before her grandparents had reported her missing. So apparently someone had been there and someone had moved her car, but he gave very inconsistent answers about that. After that came up, investigators also became even more interested in him as the main suspect due to his criminal history. He had several past charges, including a 2006 destruction of property charge, which stemmed from an incident where he smashed a woman's window shield in. So with probable cause to suspect him in this case, police ended up searching a field near the apartment complex and obtaining search warrants for Roldan's current residence. Murder was specified as the possible criminal offense on the affidavits. They seized several cell phones, a laptop computer, and some documents. And they found nothing. So the police find nothing, and after all of this goes down, Roldan stops cooperating with the police. Emil ends up actually getting a divorce from Bethany, even though she's a missing person, and he also stops cooperating with police, at least if his lawyer isn't present. So both of the suspects in the case, eventually they just completely stop cooperating with police, and the police have nothing. They have no evidence. They cannot convict anyone. They cannot even arrest anyone on anything to do with the case. So several years pass without any real updates on the case. It isn't until 2014 that there is finally a breakthrough. So Roldan ended up staying in Virginia after Bethany's disappearance, and in 2014, he began another relationship with a Vicky Willoughby. I cannot pronounce that. I'm so sorry, guys. But he begins a relationship with another woman named Vicky. And guess what? They met at a restaurant. Sound familiar? He met Bethany at a restaurant she worked at, and Vicky the same way. So this woman says that Roldan soon becomes controlling of her, and it's so bad to the point that she runs away from the situation. She leaves Roldan and she flees to North Carolina. Roldan actually ends up finding her in North Carolina, and they're back in the same abusive relationship again. So their relationship quickly becomes violent, and one day they get into an argument and it is really, really bad. During this argument, in order to protect herself, Vicky pulls out a handgun she had hiding in the living room. She was able to shoot Roldan twice, but he eventually gained control of the gun and he ends up shooting her 3 times, 1 time in the head. She ends up crawling to a neighbor's house and gets help. And incredibly, even after all of this, they both survive. And because it's believed that she was acting in self-defense, she wasn't charged. But Roldan was charged with assault with a deadly weapon, assault on a female, and discharging a firearm in an occupied dwelling. So after getting discharged from the hospital, Roldan is immediately taken to jail. While he's there, he's questioned by detectives who want to know if he finally wants to talk about Bethany's disappearance. He denies speaking to them without his attorney. Attempted murder is added onto his list of charges. So in May 2016, they finally go to trial and Roldan accepts a plea bargain from prosecutors. He pleads guilty to 2 felony assault charges and is sentenced 6 to 8 years in prison. He is currently still in prison, and after the sentence is completed, they will begin the deportation process. Roldan was never charged for Bethany's disappearance. Vicky later went on the Dr. Phil show and indicated that Roldan may have implied that he had something to do with her going missing. He had apparently told her that he can make people disappear. That, unfortunately, is not enough to convict him, and despite all of this, he will most likely get out of prison next year. Bethany is still missing, and there is no word on any new suspects in the case, and they clearly haven't been able to put anything on Roldan. So on the Late Night Crimecast Instagram, I'm going to post a picture of Bethany just because I think it's very important for these unsolved cases, for these missing people to get coverage. Thank you guys so much for listening in on today's podcast, and thank you guys so much for joining me tonight. Until next time, Late Night Crimecasters. Bye. Thank you.